Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour. This is for August 30th, 2018. Some very interesting topics tonight. And at first you might say, well, what does this have to do with science? And so just listen and you'll find out. But I'll be talking about the Hurricane Lane, which was influential in the past week in Hawaii. Then some of the very unusual conditions about that hurricane, the issue of the Atlantic hurricane season, which to date has had no activity at all, but then beginning this past few days, in fact, there has been a flurry. Now, this is coming in the mainstream media, which is very interesting because when you see that, you want to understand what twist they were putting on a story so they can get that twist to you first to influence how you think. But there's a call for Pope Francis to step down because of the pedophile issues, the scandals that are going on. But make no mistake about it, this was well known about for a very long time, and they were covering it up. They were hoping this would all go away. If you remember when the Pope came to New York a couple years ago? I don't remember the exact date, but he was supposed to meet with the, at the time, President Obama. And he did not meet with the president, and on his agenda, interestingly enough, was something that would appear to be very radical given the history of science and going way back to Carl Sagan, who was adamant that there was no such thing as aliens or alien spacecraft or whatever. But the Pope was going to come out and say, make a public announcement about what the Vatican has known for a very long time about the alien issue. Aliens not meaning people from outside the country, but people outside the planet. Those aliens. So not to mix terms here. So he was going to make an announcement, but he couldn't get to it because of the criticism in the press about the ongoing pedophilia issues. And just to be clear, this really never made it to the press in the United States. And like I say, you're probably at this point wondering, well, what does this have to do with science? Well, just hang on. I'll get there. But there was some very high-ranking cardinals and logistics people in the Vatican who were arrested in the middle of a pedophile session. And they had been watching these people. The Italian government went in and arrested them. And by the way, once again, a lot of kids listen to this show, and this is not sometimes what you might think kids should listen to. But I'll tell you something. Kids today have to become very tuned to what's going on because they're under full-scale attack. So I believe it's important. My philosophy with kids is you treat them like adults. From the time, in fact, I think we should call them young adults from the time they're 3 years old, from the time they can start to talk. You treat them like adults, they will be adults at that age. If you treat them like kids, they're going to be kids for an awful long time. And there are people who are kids all the way up into their teens and beyond, because they've been protected. And unfortunately, that veil of protection, here's what happens if you protect kids and you put like this screen around them. What happens is when they finally figure stuff out on their own, and they're going to, then they're going to find out from somebody else's perspective, not yours. So as parents, you should be talking to your kids about adult issues and about adult topics so that when they meet these in life, whether it's third grade or eighth grade or 10th grade or college, when the whole world is going to open up to them. And that's one of the issues too that I have seen, that and I've seen this repeatedly, kids that have been exposed to the world before when they were young and they were, etc. When it gets to, say, going to spring break, it's not a big deal for them. It's not like, but then the kids who've been harbored and shielded from the real world, when it comes time to go to spring break, they go crazy. Those are the ones that go crazy and go down there and drink and everything else, and the girls are taking their clothes off on the beach. And, you know, those are the kids that were sheltered. The kids that were not sheltered are like, hey, what's the big deal here? This is not, you know, this is not their idea of a good time even. In fact, some of them don't even go because it's not, you know, to watch a bunch of kids who are shielded and sheltered going crazy because they're away from home for the first time is not a good time for a kid this mature. So don't guard your kids, and you be the person who exposes them to the real world. Not when they get to college and it's dumped on them in this most bizarre manner, you know, at spring break or whatever. So anyway, back to my story here. The issue with pedophilia in not only the Vatican, but the broader Catholic Church, and in other countries, there are, if you look at the Quran, or if you look at the Talmud, or many other documents, it's right in there. It's written in there that pedophilia is acceptable to them. So you have to also look at all other cultures. I've traveled in many countries, and it's very, you have these dual cultures where they protect the young girls, but the young boys can go out and do whatever they want. You know, and we're seeing the reflection of that in this country when immigrants come into the country, and the people here don't understand the cultures that are also coming in with those people. But anyway, back to the issue. Now, let me take you into a little bit of history here. And this is important from a scientific standpoint, because in the Middle Ages, the Jesuits took over the Vatican. And you probably, most people don't know who the Jesuits are. They are a sect, a religious sect, literally, that's the correct term, in the Catholic Church. But who were they and where did they come from? The reality is the Jesuits were the Jewish people in Spain, remember the Inquisition in Spain, that the Spanish hierarchy, the government, basically said everybody in Spain has to become a Catholic. And if not, we're going to kill you or torture you until you do. And so the Jesuits formed, and they were Jewish people, and they said, well, either we're going to die or get thrown out or whatever, so we're just going to join the church, but we're going to create this secret society where we continue to operate in the obscure. And that's who then eventually, and they're very good about it, they get a person in, that person works their way up, that person brings in more people below them, and so eventually they did take over the Vatican. So that is the entire hierarchy of the Vatican today is Jesuit, including the Pope. And, of course, he's from South America, but this is worldwide. So you understand the structure of the Catholic Church. The Pope lives in Rome. The city, it's a state city, basically independent country, and following the medieval model of city-states, where the person in charge, and so they have their borders, etc. And they have, by the way, the strictest of all immigration policies. Literally nobody can immigrate into that state city. It's wholly owned and operated. But let me go back to a little incident in 1492 when Columbus solicited Spain, once again, for the ships, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, which were Portuguese coastal sailing trading boats. And they were never meant to go out in the ocean. They were small. They were, you know, meant for coastal sailing. And he took those across the ocean, and he went down south along the coast of Africa. And then when he got to the latitude where he believed he could just sail west and get to India, he sailed west. And he came to this massive continent, which he didn't know about, which is, he landed in the what are now the Antilles Islands, and then scouted around there. And then eventually, of course, they discovered that there was this massive continent. And he knew he was not in India because he was a navigator. He was looking for the coast of what is now South America, or I'm sorry, Antarctica. He had the Perry Reese map. That's another entire issue I've talked about before, that we now know that the coastline of Antarctica, which is visible through using radar from satellites, matches perfectly with the Perry Reese map. So that's what Columbus was looking for. The Perry Reese map is an old Phoenician sailing map that was valid back in the days before the pole shift, the physical pole shift that happened during basically the Moses event. So, see, none of this is visible in modern history, and there's a reason for it. Now, let me just jump ahead a little bit to bring in some scientific data here, too, because I'm going to get to all of this in a minute. But when Hale-Bopp was first discovered, the comet Hale-Bopp, which was first discovered in 1989, remember the official discovery of Hale-Bopp the comet was in 1995. Halfway through the 1990s, it was officially discovered as really the largest comet in history discovered, but it had literally been discovered many years earlier by Robert Harrington of the Naval Observatory. And this, we know, this is fact. And it was being sponsored, that search was being sponsored by NASA, and the sponsoring contract from NASA to the Naval Observatory was literally called the Search for Planet X. And if you look on my webpage, you will see that contract. It has a contract number completely identified for the Naval Observatory. And in 1989, Robert Harrington made the discovery and confirmed it. By 1991, they knew the orbit. So this is when George Bush Sr. is president. And at that point, of course, the word went through the CIA. Now, who is the CIA? The CIA, after World War II, it was the paperclip people, the Operation Paperclip. They brought over the scientists, including Wernher von Braun and all of that. And here's where some of the science starts mixing in. And the German secret police. Those are the people that became what is now the CIA. And so they had their poster boy, the Wild Bill Donovan, etc., and the Dulles brothers, who in a sense started the CIA, but those were the poster children. Those were the ones they put up, the good old Americans, that made it look like the CIA was an American organization. It never was. It was always the police force of the Vatican. Now, let's go back into prehistory here, not Middle Ages. Columbus discovers the New World that starts an entire network of countries that are vying for riches from the New World. Spain, Portugal, France to a degree, and England, of course, the Netherlands, the East India companies, and on and on and on. Okay, so the trading, for example, just a little innuendo which most people don't understand, the slave trading that brought the blacks from Africa to the United States to be slaved was done by the East India Company, which was a Jewish company from the Netherlands operated out of the Vatican. So these are all sub-companies. And remember that during the Middle Ages, marriages, wars, beginning, wars ending, was all controlled through the Vatican. And for example, when the Rothschilds married into England, the royalty of England, that's where the House of Windsor came from. The current reigning House of England, the House of Windsor, are Rothschilds from Germany. And so this is where the banking came from, and all of the technology that would develop, and more than that, the history, the true history of the world going back to very early times. And remember that when, like, Henry and Charles, or the British royalty or whatever, when they go to school, they don't go to a school where you could go if you were a commoner in England. They go to a special school, and they are raised understanding the true history. Now, let's get back to the Pope going to New York. When he went to New York, he was going to release some information, because I think they understood that this was going to come out, and the public was getting very close to understanding that there was a lot of information in the United States government and in the Vatican, etc. So when they realize that a story is going to hit the public, they want to be the first one there with their story, their version of the story. And that was what was going on. But as I said, the Pope never brought that up because he couldn't get away from the pedophilia issue. So this has been going on. The public awareness of the Vatican pedophile issue has been going on for some time. So let's go back to the 90s when the discovery of Hale-Bopp went on. George Bush Sr. is president, 1989 to 1991, in that time frame. And they realized that they had to take NASA, the heralded space agency of the United States, and put the lid on it. So they brought a guy out of the CIA, a good friend of George Bush Sr. His name was Dan Golden. And when Clinton, who was the longtime associate of George Bush Sr. in the drug trade that was run out of Mena, Arkansas, remember I posted that photo with Billy as a young guy. He's already got his ring on, his wedding ring, so Hillary had already hooked her wagon to his train there. And they were at Kennebunkport, at the Bush estate up in Kennebunkport, Maine, at a lobster fest. And Billy is sitting there drinking a Sprite, I think. It's like a pop. And he's got a big grin on his face. And that photo was taken by the father of a friend of mine, who is from Alabama. And in that photo also is George Wallace. And George Wallace is like third wife or something. And the George Bush Sr. and Billy Clinton are in that photo. And this goes way back. So the Clintons and the Bushes have been working. This cabal has been around for a long time. So when George Bush Sr. handed off the baton to Bill Clinton, there was a smooth transition there, and the issue of Hale-Bopp was well known in the secrets communities, the intelligence communities of the United States, but only at the very highest level. And it was well known in the Vatican, and we know from a guy named Father Malachi Martin, who had been on the Art Bell Show back then, and I was on the Art Bell Show back then, discussing this issue of Hale-Bopp, but I did not know all of these details at the time. I just knew that Hale-Bopp had been discovered. This was in like 1995, 96 time frame, that it did have a companion, that NASA shut it down, and there was a huge blackout of information on Hale-Bopp. NASA claimed that Hale-Bopp was nothing interesting, so it never took a picture of it with the Hubble Space Telescope, etc., which was a complete lie. They took millions of photos and got a lot of information. It was also happenstance during that time that comets were discovered to have X-rays, something that I predicted back in my early work. But I'll just throw in a little subnote here. That, you know, when I was blackballed, when I was back at Cornell, the information I was putting out that comets were not dirty snowballs, that they could become planets, etc., this stepped on the toes of the people in power, because let me go back a little bit to a guy named Velikovsky, who, by the way, when I was at Cornell, I didn't know who Velikovsky was. I had been out of the country. I had been teaching university level physics, mathematics, computer science out of the country for many years, a period of many, many years. So I was not familiar with all of the ongoing in the United States with Carl Sagan and the public denouncement of Velikovsky, etc. But they had to get rid of Velikovsky, whose books were published in the 1950s and being widely read around the world. They had to get rid of him because he was getting too close to the truth. And all Velikovsky was doing was studying calendars. So very interesting information, because let's peel back the onion layer, because Velikovsky was one of the outer layers of the onion. And this was something that was carried through the secret societies, including the Jesuits, and they go way back. The people that were carrying that secret society in Spain and around the world at the time, who became the Jesuits, were descendants that went all the way back into the Jewish communities that were around back in Egypt when the Israelites came out of Egypt with Moses, and that's when the Venus event occurred. And most common people back then did not understand. We have the Greek pantheon of deities, you know, Zeus and Venus was born of Zeus. And then we have the Mayans, that Quetzalcoatl, the plumed serpent god of the sky, became, his heart became the planet Venus, and all around the world, all of these stories. But the scattering, the realization that there was an object coming in that had been here in previous times, which was Hale-Bopp, and it literally had been there 4,600 years before the 1990 era. So now we're going back to about 4,000 BC, which I have put potentially in a category of the Noah's Flood. And in fact, I made some calculations showing that if we did in fact go through the tale of Hale-Bopp, that it would have taken about 40 days. And that is commensurate with the Noah's Flood. And that doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove that Hale-Bopp on a previous visit was related to the Noah's Flood. But it relates comets to the Noah's Flood and the Venus event, which was a totally different comet related to the Moses event. Because if Venus, the comet, became Venus the planet, then it could not be the future planet X, because it wasn't coming back again. The only thing out there left was Hale-Bopp. Okay? So I hope you're following me with this. So now, I hope I'm weaving this all together. The other thing that happened during the Middle Ages, when the Vatican was in control of basically the governments and the kings, etc., of Great Britain, Spain, Portugal, France, all of these countries, and then into Germany, and the Rothschilds then became the front agency for the Vatican Bank. Well, where did the Vatican get its money? Well, of course, everybody, all the Catholics around the world were donating every Sunday. And all of this money, a lot of it went up, it didn't stay in the parishes, it went up to the Vatican, giving the Vatican great wealth. But also, when the New World was discovered and the great wealth of gold, primarily gold, some silver, but primarily gold, vast, vast amounts that had been accumulated by the Incas primarily, and also the Aztecs, not so much the Mayans. The Mayans were not that big on gold. Their region of the world was not, they had gold, but nothing like the Aztecs and the Incas. There was so much gold there, they could use it as the ballast of ships. And just to give you an example, a 200-foot galley ship to fill its hull with gold to be ballast is an immense amount of gold. there are 24 ships that sank off the coast of Santo Domingo. It's in the what is called the Mona Strait between the west coast of Puerto Rico and the east coast of Santo Domingo is a 100-mile stretch of open ocean where the ships would come through when they were coming from South America or Mexico. They would come through there, and then they'd go over to San Juan to refuel, basically get water, food, etc., for the long trip back to England or Spain or wherever they were going to. So there was 24 of these ships had sunk, hitting the rocks off the, they were blown off course, and the Mona Channel has high, very high currents, and these were just sailboats, so they would be blown off course and sink. They would be blown west over to the shore of Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, and sink. And there are 24 ships still down there laden with huge amounts of gold. Those are the ones that didn't make it. Hundreds of ships did make it. And all of that gold went into the Vatican. It all came back. It all was basically built the basis of the Vatican wealth, which is still there today. So when the Queen of England, who is the House of Windsor, which is the House of Rothschild, which is the banking front of the Vatican, when she says something, etc., that's what she's sitting on. The crown and the throne of England represent the riches of the Rothschild banking empire. And so when the United States split away from England in the Revolutionary War, etc., and the Bill of Rights was added to the Constitution, and etc., within a very short amount of time, the people from England were over here instigating what became the Civil War, and of course it was over taxation. Not necessarily there was the slave issue, of course, but also over taxation, because the North was getting back to the British way of doing business and having foreign wars. And the South said, hey, we don't want to pay for all this. We don't want to be taxed out of existence. And that's what the war was actually started for, not because of slavery. But there was also the slavery issue and the proclamation, and they wanted it only... slavery abolished north of the Mason-Dixon line, and President Abraham Lincoln would not sign that. He wanted all the states, and so there were all of these divisions, and of course the Civil War pursued, but by the time 1913 rolled around, the English bank had already been into the United States and created the Federal Reserve, the banking system and taxation system which exists in the United States today, where the United States borrows its money from the banking empire of the Rothschilds to operate, and when your taxes are paid, they don't go to running the country, they go to offset the interest on the national debt to the Rothschild Bank. Okay, so now let me talk about science, now that I've talked about this, but the issue of pedophilia is an issue that has been inherent in these groups since time immemorial. And it gets much more nefarious than that. So I'm not going to go into that. But the CIA, back in the 90s, they always controlled the science. Because remember, Operation Paperclip, all of those German scientists came over to the United States, and some of them went to Russia. Russia got a boatload of very good scientists also, but the Germans were the premier scientists. Make no mistake about it. So that's where our Apollo moon program came from. But of course, and I'm not going to get into that tonight, but in the discovery of an object, now when Hale-Bopp was first discovered, and I have a lot of this information on my DVD, it's available on my website, when Hale-Bopp was first discovered by Harrington in 1989, and then the orbit was confirmed in 1991, Harrington, my belief is, he was going to go public. and say, hey, there's this object, and it's big, and it's on a direct collision course with Earth, like within a million miles, which is like a stone's throw in outer space, like four lunar distances, and it's going to be here in around the year 1995, as closest approach. And so anyway, they didn't realize that eventually Hale-Bopp would develop this big tail. They didn't understand that the tail drag would cause it to slow down, and Earth would have time to move forward in its orbit, and thus avoiding that near-direct collision with Hale-Bopp. But the Vatican knew this. The Vatican is very deep into science, into astrology, into the history of science, and they knew, in fact, they were so certain, they asked NASA, this is going back to Father Malachi Martin, who was on Art Bell. And so anyway, Malachi Martin, who had access to the Vatican computer systems, said that the Vatican question to NASA was, is Hale-Bopp, and of course it was not called Hale-Bopp at the time, it was literally called Planet X. And so, by the way, the whole disinformation campaign, which started in 1995 and culminated in 2003 with the crazy lady Nancy Leader talks to aliens, being on Coast to Coast hundreds of times, you know, with access to all of the radio shows that were by Clear Channel, owned and operated through the same networks. How did this person get on a radio show so much and get so much notoriety? Well, that was the planned disinformation, because the CIA owns the press. They owned, remember that after the first Gulf War, the CIA bought CNN. It's been fake news since then, because it was started by Turner. Ted Turner started CNN, and remember, it was an independent news agency and was very successful. Turner became very wealthy because everybody was watching CNN, including George Bush Sr. and Saddam Hussein were both watching CNN to get their news about what was going on in the first Gulf War. So after the first Gulf War, the CIA bought CNN through a parent company. And then the CIA started buying up all of the major networks, MSNBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, all the likely suspects, National Geographic, and on and on and on. The History Channel, Discovery Channel, a lot of magazines, Sky and Telescope, Astronomy Magazine, National Geographic Magazine, National Geographic Television Show, the Discovery Channel, the History Channel, etc. So that's all CIA-controlled propaganda. And that's what you're seeing today, this massive propaganda, and it's all coordinated. So on one given day, they all have a script to read. So people like Cuomo, and this whole laundry list of people, they are reading from a script. And they're out there to pound a topic, and that's why eventually 99.9% of you out there have discovered this and stopped listening to those places. Because you know that this is just, this is just complete garbage, and you're seeing the programming in the news. But what does this have to do with science? Well, let me take an observation here, going back to a guy named, this is a great example. I was on Art Bell's show one time, and it was a Christmas special. I did quite a few Christmas specials with Art, although he was an atheist. We did what we called the Christmas special. And one year, the topic was the Russian space program, because I was quite knowledgeable about the Russian space program. And so anyway, we're talking, and we got into the discussion of my comet work. And he was, of course, fully aware of it and the controversy involving my work and the issues with Cornell. And by this time, Cornell was a bit of history, because we're talking about 1995 on the Art Bell Show, and it was 1981 when I had my untimely demise from Cornell. So, but anyway, it was still widely known what had happened, and then my published work after that. And And, you know, everybody knew about my comet work and how the solar system formed from large comets and the fact that the Big Bang was totally incorrect. And remind you that this is before the internet. This is before blogs. This is before other web pages. This is before people copying my work and trying to make a living off of it, etc. And but anyway, Art said to me on the air, he said, you know, Jim, he said, you know, when looking at your scientific work, it's very clear that it's true. You know, that there's no question that what you're doing is correct. And he said, why all of the fuss? What's the big deal about your work? And I said, well, it's the, you know, all the textbooks would have to be changed. You know, I had already done my textbook study in 1991, which was a publicly available video, professionally produced. And, you know, he said, and I said, well, they'd have to change all the textbooks, the embarrassment of decades and decades of published peer-reviewed scientific papers. And, you know, and I kept going on, the arrogance of the NASA, the scientists. And, you know, I kind of went through a little laundry list, and he goes, you know, he said they could fix all of that. They could change their story. The public would not be aware of it. They could, you know, silence you, get you out of the picture, and steal your work. They could pretend like they had created all of this. He said there's 100 things they could do to try and neutralize you and get you out of the picture, take credit for it, and change all the history books about science. He said there's something else going on here. And Art was a very perceptive guy, bless his soul. He's, you know, passed away this past year. Amazingly astute person who just ran that show and built talk radio into what it is today. But anyway, he said, no, there's something else going on here. What? And at the time, you know, neither one of us answered that, but it took me a while. And then finally, you know, over time, I started to realize, yeah, there's something much bigger going on here, because I had hit the nail directly on the head. And I came out of nowhere. No one in their right mind would have expected somebody to take NASA data, like when I was at Cornell, and disprove, not only disprove everything that they were doing, but replace it with a completely self-consistent set of theoretical work that showed how comets work, that showed they're not dirty snowballs, the plasma discharge of the solar capacitor, how the solar wind works, how the Big Bang, that the redshift was caused by another laboratory provable concept, the induced electric dipole redshift, and on the dominoes were just completely down on the table. Everything that they had done was incorrect, but even more importantly was the fact that the top story that the Vatican, who was in control of the CIA, who was in control of NASA, and remember, the Vatican said to NASA, so what's the connection there? Well, the Vatican controlled the CIA, who controlled NASA, so the Vatican basically controlled NASA, and said, is Hale-Bopp, or this thing, is this Planet X object that you've discovered, is it Wormwood? So now you're getting to the crux, this is now peeling back the onion layers, down to the core issue. And the ultimate answer, which I also talk about on my DVD, and I've talked about on radio shows, etc., is that the people who are really in control, these are the invisible people in the Vatican. And by the way, if the Pope steps down, that will be a symbolic admission, but it doesn't cure the problem. Because everybody think, oh, the Pope stepped down, the problem's cured. No, not at all. The problem didn't get cured at all. They just took like the front visible person, who is the Pope. And by the way, I always say, my rule is that if you can see them, if you see their name, if you see them in public, they're not the top. They're the fall guy. They're the guy that's going to take the fall and be chopped off the chopping block, and he'll go away, and everybody's going to think, oh, that really fixed them. No, everything else is just going to go deeper in a hidden layer. And by the way, in the United States, in Congress, etc., the first thing they do, and Congress is full of this when they talk about the deep state or these organizations, etc., they are all compromised, 99.9% of them, with pedophilia or other forms of being compromised on film or whatever, so that those people are bought and paid for. Their life, their family, their career, any future is going to be absolutely ruined if they do not comply with the people in charge. And so this is a network of control. And then when Trump went to the White House, one of his goals was to flush out the swamp. And so hidden in that message, it was this deeper organization, very much controlled. And so when you see the daily screaming and gyrations and everything going at Trump, this is all what's going on the surface. The real fear that he's going to burst the bubble, the information bubble, and get down into these deeper layers that's going to expose this entire giant network, not only in Washington, but in international politics, in the G8. Remember, they threw Putin out. And Putin, interestingly enough, has brought the Orthodox Eastern religion in as the state religion in Russia. And so he's not exactly welcome because they don't get along good with the Pope, who wants to run the banking empire. Remember, it was the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia where the Vatican came in and supported both sides, the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks. The Reds were the Bolsheviks. The Whites were the Mensheviks. Supported both of them, and at the very end supported the Bolsheviks with more arms and took away support for the Mensheviks, and the Reds won. And by the time that happened, the Vatican Bank was well established in Russia. And so that was to get the Tsar out of there and get the Vatican government in place in Russia. And so ever since then, in World War II, they controlled that. And then after World War II was the Cold War. That was 50 years of world control by a simple concept called the Cold War, pitting the United States against Russia. But Putin pulled out of that. And so that's why they hate him. That's why they hate Trump, because neither one of them are leaders that belong to the Vatican cabal. So this, you know, you have to understand a deeper issue here. And the reason I'm talking about this, by the way, is because when I listen to the news media, not a single person gets to this level of understanding of what the heck is really going on here. Trump signed an executive order this past year, and it said that they could seize assets of anybody involved in human trafficking. Okay, well, now let me get back to science, because, I'll leave all these other issues now and concentrate on the scientific aspect of all of this. There is a secret space program that you never see, you never hear about. NASA is a smokescreen, you know, and so all of this, did NASA go to the moon? Did they not go to the moon? Did, you know, NASA building a new spaceship? They're going to go to Mars in 2022, whatever it is. It's garbage. NASA has never been, it is not now, and it never will be a space agency. NASA is a smokescreen for the real science that goes on behind the scenes. Believe me, that is simply the way it is. Now, I'm not telling you this because I read it on somebody's webpage or read it in a book or whatever. I'm telling you this because I have seen this myself. I know it's there. I talk to people. People talk to me. And I know it's there. And along with this is a lot of very dark science that goes on behind the scenes that would make your hair fall out if you even imagined some of this stuff was going on. with human experimentation, etc., or the goals that they want to make the human race into a GMO type of crop, where the normal methods of families, etc., that's one thing they want to do, is break up the family. And so a lot of the divisions that you see in the United States, you see it in other countries too. Like they're very active in South Africa right now in the demise of that country by dividing the whether it's between race or economic levels or gender or whatever it is. They're out there to divide the public while they work their agenda in the background. Okay, and this is true in science. So when you see science that's published in the peer-reviewed journals, just take a look at this. When a scientist publishes in a peer-reviewed journal, which I have some published papers when I was at Cornell, they were getting published in peer-reviewed journals, and a lot of my critics don't have any published papers in peer-reviewed journals. But the point is, when you publish in a peer-reviewed journal, you basically, the copyright goes to the publication. And when I realized that, I'm like, okay, no more of this. I'm going to take care of my own publications. I'm going to distribute my own information. I'll give it to the public. I own the copyrights, everything else. And so it is a control mechanism for scientists. So a scientist goes through high school, gets his college degree, does really well, studies really hard, goes on to get an advanced degree, master's degree, or PhD. And then they get put on the very end of the list, and they're basically following this structure up until someday they get to have their name first on the list. But by the time it gets to that point, they're married, they have a family, the kids are trying to get ready to go to college. They're completely compromised. And if they ever realize that this is a rigged system, then they just shut up. They don't say anything and realize that any science they are doing is first monitored. Anything that comes out of NASA back in the 90s, early 1990s, when Dan Golden came into the NASA, they put the lid on there. And previously, scientists could come up to a microphone and talk. Well, no more. They cannot say anything, and they can only say something that's scripted. And then that information is sent through a press release organization that is filtered, and then it's released to the public. So that's always consistent. And that's why, for example, the claim was made that there's universal corroboration or agreement about global climate change that's man-made. Well, that's because all of that news is controlled, whether it's coming from standard science. And as it goes through the standard news media for science, which is fake news, it's the original fake news, was the original fake science news. Let me tell you a little story here. This happened to me back in the 1980s. I went to an American Geophysical Union meeting in San Francisco, and I met with the lead scientist, Tycho von Rosenvinge, and who was working for NASA at the time on the ICE mission, ICEEE, which was renamed ISEE3 when it went to Jacobini's Inner, the comet, and Jonathan Eberhardt. Now, Jonathan was the top news reporter for a publication called Science News. And, of course, in those days, there was no internet. It was a publication, a print publication that you would receive in the mail. And of course, that was one of the main sources of news for scientific, especially if there was an American Geophysical Union, then the next issue of Science News would cover all of the main topics that were discussed at that meeting. And so it was the highest level, you might say, of news. So anyway, I dropped a hint to Jonathan Eberhardt. I had talked to him. We went out for sushi afterwards in a sushi restaurant. It was the three of us. And we were talking, and Jonathan I told him about my work and stuff like that. So he actually published a little bit in Science News dealing with me. And he came back to me and he said, don't ever talk to me again. Somebody called him up and basically told him he could not talk about me again. Threatened him to the point where he would not talk to me after that. And at the meeting and everything else, he was jovial. He was, oh, they're very interesting. You know, he was very interested. But somebody called him up, made a phone call, and from that point on, everything had to be Dirty Snowball Comet model. And he learned the hard way. Okay, so let me come fast forward up to YouTube. When YouTube started, I was immediately banned from YouTube. You could not put a blog note about me, nothing. It was not allowed. Somebody would put in a blog note, mention my name, it was immediately taken down. Any videos that I put up would be immediately taken down. But isn't it interesting? People who steal my work and try and turn it into goofy science can get published all they want on YouTube. So, yeah, but they don't talk about Planet X. They don't talk about the real issues. They have all of this garbage science that doesn't make any sense. In fact, they're not even scientists. They're just people that pretend to be scientists. But that can be published on YouTube, but I can't. So I was the original, you know, long before Alex Jones or anybody else was censored from YouTube, I was the original from the very beginning. And YouTube had always been, and all of these social medias, so Facebook, YouTube, etc., all of them were CIA-owned from the very beginning. Zuckerberg and these people are just poster childs. They're not the real owners of anything. They're the people that are put up there to, you know, like I say, if you see their face, hear their names, they're not in charge of anything. So, not really. Okay, anyway, there's a little bit of history there, but I think it's important for people to understand that the whole issue with them trying to make the Pope resign, he's the fall guy. And so then they'll say, well, the Pope resigned, okay, everybody go home, nothing to see here, and the problem didn't get solved at all. It'll just simply go underground farther, and it'll never become visible again because they know that everybody's watching. But isn't it interesting how they try to hide their crimes? And they know it's wrong. They know it's wrong, and they know they're hiding it from the public. And that the public would take them out and basically string them up from the highest yardarm if they knew what was going on. So these people know what they're doing is wrong. They try and fix it, cover it up with another lie, and then pretend like everything's going to go away. That's the way they fix things. They get rid of one of their lower echelon people, who the Pope is one. You think he's the top guy? No, no, no. He's not the top guy. He's the fall guy. He's put up there to be the front man. And everybody thinks the Pope is the top guy, and he's not at all. Okay, so anyway, it's unfortunate I have to spend my time on this show talking about these issues. But it's very important to understand that in the world of science, this level of obscurity, this level of obfuscation, this level of lie can be perpetrated and extended, and the public simply doesn't have a clue. In general, what's going on. And even if you have an inkling that everything they're telling you is a lie, they don't know what, there's nothing to replace that. And so anyway, when my show, I'll tell you, a lot of people talk to me about my show, and the one comment is that it's information that you will not hear anyplace else. You will not hear this information anyplace else in this corner of the galaxy. Okay? So, just a quick mention, I was going to talk about the hurricanes. There's no hurricane season in the Atlantic to date, and there have been some hurricanes in the Pacific. Hurricane Lane affecting Hawaii, very unusual storm, had a very unusual path as it passed west of the Hawaiian Islands, and then coming up basically the channel, and then stalling there for 3 days as it dumped over 40 inches of rain in some places. And then its predicted path was to go north and then swing left, which it actually did. And this is, I mean, once these storms start going north, they typically keep going north and then east. So this was the most manipulated storm I've ever seen since who knows when. But I think what they were trying to do was toy with the current path that comes from Mauna Loa, because when the hurricanes would come in from the western side, they would short out the Mauna Loa. And, of course, Hilo would get a lot of rain because they're on that windward side of the island. But other than that, the hurricanes would just break up and disintegrate, or they'd come in from the southeast and short out on the seamount that's about 50 miles off the southeast coast of the Big Island, giving rise to the fact that the Big Island has never been hit by a hurricane. And they've been, in a sense, hit by hurricanes, but it typically is breaking up and there's a bit of rain typically on the eastern side of the island. That's it. Not the western or the southern part of the island. So anyway, that's, and you could see the eye being stretched as the hurricane came around and made that hard right turn and then came up and then made this amazing left turn. It didn't hit Honolulu. Maybe one of the guys in the control room had a beachfront house over in Honolulu and didn't want it destroyed, so they moved it away from those islands. Some of the other islands, like the northwestern islands, got a tremendous amount of rain, but not Honolulu. So it was kind of steered away from that particular location. Interesting. But anyway, I wanted to spend, because of all of this in the news over the past week, and flesh out this whole history of science and the Vatican and all of these other issues so that it's really clear. And this is simply history. This is not a bias or anything else. These are simply facts of history that I'm presenting here. And so for better or for worse, well, it's important for you and people to understand where our own country came from and how it's been twisted and turned throughout the ages to get to where we are today. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.